Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Welcome to Mo's Tropical Summer. As any regular listener knows, every summer I get to talk with people from all over the world, actually, who work or own bars with a bit of a tropical bent to them, and this summer is no exception. So sit back and relax, mix yourself a drink that has lots of fruit juices, rums, and maybe even an umbrella, and enjoy Tropical Summer. I went back to the bar so that I could talk to Kingston Chan, who not only crafts tropical goodness at Clifton's Pacific Seas here in Los Angeles, but also has taken over the town with his Tiki Takeover LA pop-ups, which have happened at so many bars in this city, as well as the South Bay of the greater Los Angeles area, Long Beach, etc. Wonderful, wonderful nights, great people, and fantastic playlists as curated by Kingston Chan. So pour something nice and fruity for yourself, probably with a little rum in it, or if you're like Kingston and myself, a little mezcal, and sit back and listen.
Hi. So.
Hi, what's up?
Gucci. So,
okay, I always tell people to introduce themselves, and then where they work, but you...
Cool.
I think I told you this when we were texting. You make me tired knowing all the things you do. But I, too, once had a schedule like that. So just rattle off. What's your main gig?
So I'm mostly at Clifton's Republic at the moment in the Pacific Seas Bar.
Okay. So you're up there in that little cubby hole. Yeah, I know the person who decorated that place.
Oh, really?
I do. Yeah. So I got to sneak in there before it was decorated.
Ah.
And he told me ghost stories.
Ooh, yeah.
I was going to say.
Everyone says it's still haunted. Some mostly believe it.
So, and what else? Because you have your own thing.
Yeah.
Your tiki pop-ups that have varying tiki names.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. You're at Clifton's, Pacific Seas, and where else are you?
So I also work at Arts District Brewery, or I should say Arts District Brewing Company, just to be specifically correct. Homem Brew House. Apparently today has Yakitori in downtown LA. today's my second day. Hey, guys got paid bills and got to go to Maui.
Yeah,
I'm like, someone's got to pay the bills.
It's true.
What else? I still cover shifts in Long Beach at a really cute Irish pub called Shenanigans. So there's that.
I like anything called Shenanigans.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
And my life used to be such shenanigans in the best way.
It is. Yeah, I'm covering a shift on Sunday. It's so funny.
So tell me about the pop-ups, though, because that's how I met you, was through the pop-ups. Yeah. And I didn't even know that you were at Clifton's at Pacific Seas, which I guess I should have known that you had been at some sort of tiki-esque bar in order to pull off these tiki nights.
Oh, actually, no. Definitely not. No.
No? When did you start doing these things?
I started doing Tiki Takeover LA with my ex, Zachary McGrath, around August, September. Mm-hmm. Harbor and Stone was the very first venue to give us that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then...
Did you do it in the back room?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep, that R&D bar. Uh-huh. We were the first bartenders they brought as guest bartenders in that space after COVID. We're like, yeah, so that place is great. It has its like charm. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows what's up with it.
Yeah, totally. So what made you start doing this? Why did you get so inspired on that front? Tiki drinks are not simple drinks.
No.
To do them as a pop-up.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, so it's so funny. So Zach and I used to love hosting tiki nights at his house. So we would have our friends come over and make them cocktails that were like more tropical, like S. Mm-hmm. Like Zach's favorite cocktail of all time is a Painkiller.
Oh my God.
And mine's always been a Singapore Sling. So it's just kind of funny how that worked itself out. I didn't even know Singapore Sling was a tiki cocktail until like probably in the last few years.
Well, I almost feel like Singapore Sling was much more associated with like Chinese restaurants.
Exactly, me too.
You know, which a lot of tiki drinks are from those old school Chinese restaurants and everything, and they just fell into that kind of tropical, exotic, maybe.
Exactly, So I definitely think tiki and exotica like go kind of hand in hand. So my parents are from Malaysia and Singapore, where the Singapore Sling and like other like cocktails like originate from. Mm-hmm. So they say. So to me, it's like this isn't like necessarily like tiki. It was just something I grew up with, and then when I like started bartending more seriously in the craft world, apparently that's what the cocktails I grew up loving are, quote unquote, tiki. So I guess like tiki is something I inherited by accident, kind of like Tiki Takeover LA also, which is a funny story too.
No, it's true. Well, you have to tell me that, but I always tell people, I'm like, they're like, oh, you're so tiki. I'm like, I grew up by the beach.
Yeah.
So I never thought of myself as tiki, but the beach culture
where
I grew up lends itself. I wore flowers in my hair. I wore my dresses, walking around in flip-flops. We had the little hey there, but we called it something else, the little hand symbol. And of course, you're drinking drinks out of coconuts and everything.
Yeah.
But to me, I didn't realize that was tiki.
Yeah, me too. Like, I'm from Long Beach. I grew up in Long Beach. So, like, to me, it's like, this is like challah.
Yeah.
People wore puka shells and puka shell necklaces.
Yeah.
Like, in the like it's early 2000s. Yeah, surf culture. It was like our norm. Like, So
yeah, you don't realize that there's this whole, especially, you know, same for me when I first got into like the cocktail world, I didn't realize that there had been this whole kind of culture behind it, and the history of those drinks that go back so far.
Yeah, history, yeah.
It's very interesting, the history of all those drinks. So, like you were saying, you got the Chinese restaurants, you got your Singapore Sling.
Yeah.
So then you're like, oh my gosh, I like tiki drinks.
Yeah.
So you decided to do pop-ups of tiki stuff.
It's kind of funny so I got into it by accident. So Zach really, really wanted to do this, especially like after a year of pandemic, and like he worked at 71 Above. Mm-hmm. So 71 Above is like the highest like restaurant in the West Coast, I believe.
Yeah.
So they don't have any outdoor dining whatsoever. It's like it's a skyscraper.
Yeah.
It's literally like 71 floors above this, like the grounds. So for him, like Tiki Takeover LA was like a project that he envisioned. Mm-hmm. And I was like luckily working throughout the entire pandemic. Like I worked at my bar in Long Beach because we had open air. And then I luckily picked up two bar jobs along the way during pandemic. So I feel like I was one of the lucky ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That found opportunities during pandemic and like kind of like cultivated and like made it my own. Mm-hmm. Like I've always loved craft cocktails, but like Zach came from like Duff & Company in New York City. Mm-hmm. And like all this like wisdom, like, and like dating him and like living with him definitely taught me a lot too.
Yeah.
And showed me like I wanted to just kind of like go in that
Tiki drinks
in my life.
Like advanced craft cocktails. I mean,
see, I didn't think that too, which is so funny. To me, it's like,
once you start making them, I think, you know, there's like classic craft cocktails, and everyone talks about, it has to be balanced properly in this and all. Those are like 3 or 4 ingredient drinks.
Yeah.
Then you get a tiki drink, and you're like, that's like a 15 ingredient drink or something, with like 3 or 4 different kinds of rungs in like tiny little increments, and you have to blend them just right. So they're not simple.
Mm-mm.
Some people just take to them, though, which apparently you did, because you decided to do pop-ups of this. So now, I mean, last week, didn't you have like a pop-up almost every night just a week ago?
Yeah.
You had like four. Or five.
I had four last week.
So tell me about these pop-ups, like your inspiration behind them all, because they all kind of are thematic. You have different kind of versions of each one.
So to me, Tiki's also campy, and Tiki is like makes fun of itself and can't be taken itself seriously. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's always fun to like pair it with like karaoke or burlesque or a drag show.
Yeah.
Things that like I think make people want to come out of their houses still.
Yeah.
People still have like COVID at the back of their like mindset.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like just like, let's live our best lives. Mm-hmm. I lost like two amazing friends last year,
so that
to me was like, yeah, like life is short, and like let's just make sure like every single opportunity is the best one possible.
Yeah,
every single moment is a great memory in the making.
Your Tiki pop-ups that I've been to, I've been to a couple of them, and they are so fun, so joyous, so fun, and the best crowds. So you're obviously accomplishing that goal.
Thanks.
At least that's how it feels to me.
Maybe.
Anyway. When did you get into bartending?
I got into bartending. Eight years ago. Yeah, I was like, how many years? Yes. Seven, eight years ago, yeah. Yeah. My longest relationship.
What was the first place you bartended at?
I bartended at a really cute place called The Brass Lamp. It doesn't exist anymore. So it was like a quote unquote book bar.
Where was that?
It's in Long Beach.
That sounds super familiar to me. I must have gone there. I have so many friends in Long Beach.
Yeah.
So I was like, I must have gone because that's such a cute name.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a book bar, did you say?
Yeah. So
like, it was like a library kind of
stuff? Yeah, but like a bookstore, a library like in the background. Mm-hmm. You have like different pop-ups in the front that like collaborated with our owner. We had a coffee program, which I actually was more in charge of.
Really?
And bartending just kind of came along the way because the bartenders themselves didn't show up for their shifts for the first few months. And I was always around, so I'm like, just let me do it. So that's why I got cross-trained to do bartending work.
Was just because
they
weren't there.
Yeah, because I was doing the coffee program, so someone had to like bartend.
So did you come up with a lot of coffee cocktails during that time?
I did, yeah. And it just showed me like a lot of things I learned in the coffee roastery business kind of like played out really well. Like
in cocktail
cocktails, yeah, because like I'm still measuring temperature, dilution, like with heat, like for example,
the
moment that you like extract like espresso, it has to like be like a certain coordinated time as well, and how fine and how coarse that espresso is.
Wow.
So it goes to show, and like the quality of like the espresso itself, like where it came from, coffee beans.
Oh my god, that totally makes sense. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm probably one of like out of every 2,000 people or something that doesn't drink coffee.
Uh-huh.
I always joke around because my family's Colombian, so we don't eat it. It's just part of us, you know. But I've never been into it, so I don't know that much about it, except that I think it smells wonderful.
Yeah.
I hope it tasted as good as it smelled. But I guess if you add things to it, it tastes a little bit better.
Yeah.
But that's really fascinating. I never would have thought of that before. So that was, what an interesting training ground, you know, to learn that way. And that almost sounds kind of like that sort of palate-y kind of thing. You know, a lot of people start in big clubs or whatever, which is... that gives you a whole different set of skills.
Yeah.
It's also really useful. But this is almost like you were learning the nuances early on. Oh,
yeah.
That's so interesting.
It's funny. So I like went out from like learning nuances and like craft to like high volume dive.
And then you went to that.
So like, but like everyone knew like I always work hard. For me, it's like I'm always gonna make every single impact meaningful.
Yeah.
And that includes like my work ethic. So like, yeah, I did like, I still do like high volume dive at Shenanigans. So after 5-6 years now, but yeah, like craft cocktails is something I've always been passionate about.
Yeah.
And like learning from my ex and like learning from different mentors of mine along the way and my bar mamas, all the many bar mamas. So I'm so grateful. Yeah.
Did you take that time during the pandemic when everyone was locked at home to just be like crafting and making stuff? Did you garden?
Uh-huh.
So you took a break from the drinking stuff during that time?
No, not necessarily. I just found flavor profiles that I thought were fun to play with.
So were you doing like garden to glass kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So like one of my favorite herbs of all time is a pineapple sage. And it's not even related to sage itself.
I had pineapple sage. I got it because it smelled really nice.
Yeah.
And the flowers are really pretty.
Yeah, and the flowers themselves taste like kiwis.
do they? Because I just grew it just because it looked nice and all this, and I wanted to, like, I was like, oh, maybe I'll make a syrup with leaves or something like that.
The pineapple leaves and the flowers.
It died
like
after like 3 months, so I didn't, and I could never find it again, actually. I kept going, I need to get some pineapple sage because that smells so nice. Mm-hmm. So what did you do with it?
I turned it into a cocktail.
So the flowers taste like kiwi, which is delicious.
Yeah,
so
and the leaves, too. Like, they have, like, a weird, like, nice, like, citrus note. Like a slightly acidic like note from how they are molecularly. Yeah.
Oh, that's yum. What was one of your favorite things that you came up with while you were locked away? If you were growing things and then turning them into cocktails.
There were so many. I remember like how Zach dared me to make a good Jägermeister cocktail.
Oh, really?
And I did.
We'll see. What do you remember? What was in it?
I have it on my Instagram. I definitely remember recording it. Yeah, but I remember like how Zach had a running gag with his co-worker slash one of my bar mamas, Victoria. Victoria and him would try forever to like try and make a good craft like Jägermeister cocktail, and both like were like, "Fuck no, this is just not gonna happen." I made one with Zach during pandemic, and he was like, "Ashley, this tastes pretty damn good."
I think I've had a good I think I have had a good Jäger cocktail, and it was a similar thing where it was a challenge.
Yeah.
Let's come up with something, you know, that'll work.
And I think that influenced a lot of, like, Tiki Takeaway, personally. Yeah. Like, Zach was like, let's make something good out of this. And so what's great about Tiki Takeaway is, like, I try and, like, always ask a different bar program if they have backstock and what I can help purge. And so, therefore, it's kind of like a litmus test of, like, putting my brain muscle memory to like overdrive.
That's so good. I know I was forced to do a guest bartending slot at the Mermaid. One of my bar partners was like, "You've never bartended here, and you need to bartend here." I'm like, "I never bartend, period. I'm afraid of all that." They're like, "Nope, you're gonna do it." And it was gonna be outside, so I wasn't even gonna have a sink or anything.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
"Oh no!" And they're like, "And it's Tiki Tuesday, and our sponsor is Slane Irish Whiskey." And I was like, "Well, that's going to require a lot of thought and practice at home on my part, you know, but I came up with three drinks that I was really happy with."
Yay.
But, you know, they say that limitations force you to do good work.
Yeah, exactly, which is like why I love Sudoku and Tetris.
I'm also a fan of Tetris, so yes, my whole apartment is Tetris.
Yes.
I had to tell my husband that when he was moving in. You have a lot of stuff. It's a good thing I'm good at Tetris, you know. But, yeah, I mean, that's something that I think it encourages you to be more creative, because you're like, okay, this is what I have to work with. How can I make this amazing?
Yeah.
You know? So I have had good drinks. I mean, and it's not like they say, okay, it's Slane Irish Whiskey. I'm now giving Slane all these props right now. But it's a very particular taste profile.
Yeah.
And it's not one you associate with tiki.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, how can I make this tropical drink somehow? Mm-hmm. How can I make this work?
Yeah.
Figure it out. There's got to be one you were especially proud of during these pop-ups. Something, what's one that somebody gave you? They're like, okay, here's what we got left over. Good luck.
Actually, the Slane was actually probably
was
one of my
one
best
of
ones. Yeah. And I really can't wait to like keep utilizing that recipe in the future at different events.
Yeah, actually.
And like, I'm a big fan of Slane. They did not pay us.
They did not pay us.
Seriously. We just have a lot of love for Rachel, but they did not pay for us.
They totally did. We'll have to like tag her on this. Also, we talk about Slane a lot. I did a coconut fat wash with it, so I could do sort of like an old fashioned, you know, and I was like, just doing the coconut fat wash, I'm like, oh, it's a whole new world, and that was so easy to do. You know, just even something like that. I'm just like, that just changed it just enough that it gave us that thing, and I'm like, it's instantly tropical just by itself. It's like coconut. It's got a little coconut aftertaste now. We're good, you know?
Exactly. It qualifies.
Totally qualifies. So in making all of these drinks, of course, then you have to name them.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any really fun names? I feel like when I was here, when we did the Weather Mermaid, you had some hilarious names, but I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Well, I like finding inspiration in like anything and everything. Like, I like to be punny, of course. I think puns are great. Like, one of my best like cocktails recently is called Go Fig or Go Home. And so it had like Medju dates and like Turkish dates in it. Turkish figs. Yeah, and actually fig leaf, because it was I love gardening and I love foraging. So I found inspiration actually that week when I was walking in the neighborhood, and I found a fig tree just like on a sidewalk, and I'm like, hell yeah, fig leaves, and fig leaves are edible. Yeah.
Funny, I was just visiting my family down in San Diego, and we have these friends who you would love it. Yeah. Next time you can have bartenders weekend. They have an orchard, basically, because they own a nursery.
Yeah. They're
family friends we've known forever. So they own this big nursery, very much into succulents. They've got the tropical plants, but then their own property is just behind this. And it's an orchard. So I've got bowls and bowls of fruit right now, and I go down there and I'm like, cucumbers, snap peas, apples, oranges, blood oranges. It just depends what's in season.
Yeah.
And I was walking around with the matriarch of this family. She's like, do you like arugula? I'm like, I love arugula. If
me
I could
too.
Break a stem of arugula off and rub it behind my ears and use it as perfume, yeah. I would. I love that nutty smell it has. And she's like, oh, well, this is an Italian variant of arugula. And she just basically yanks this weed out of the ground. It's here. And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, just bite it. And it's super bitter, but so tasty.
Ooh,
and
I was wonder where it was.
I could find out. But she just had it growing like under a tree.
Yeah.
And she kept pulling off leaves and just handing them to me, and I was like, I'm always amazed at how much is actually edible. You
know, yeah, right?
And she goes, everything here is edible.
Yeah.
You can eat the leaves, you can eat the flowers, you can eat this. And my husband had just eaten guava, like feijoa, the ones that look like
feijoa blossoms, yeah.
Exactly.
They're also edible.
Yeah, which we used to eat all the time when I was kids.
Yeah.
My dad's like, we're not going to have enough fruit if you keep eating all the flowers, you know?
Yeah.
But my husband had never tried that before, and my dad took me outside and said, here, eat this, and just gave him a piece of flour, and he's like, ugh, it's not going to kill you. My dad is not trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And he ate it, and he's like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, it is. It's nice and sweet and soft.
I think people don't realize, like, vanilla itself is an orchid. It's a flower.
Yeah.
And so when, like, that's something I think that goes to show, like, people are always surprised by, that things we've been, like, not accustomed to growing
We're not
up.
We're used to seeing them
in its
in
true
their
nature.
Form.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, along with coming up with your punny names and your delicious cocktails, you also come up with playlists.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy that you sent me the three playlists that you sent me, but especially the Tiki Disco one.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to hear that. So, you put all these things together, mm-hmm. I'm guessing, as well.
Yeah.
So, tell me about that. Tell me about your nerdiness.
I love music so much. So, a lot of my best friends are musicians. I'm like the odd one out that can't sing for shit. Hopefully, you don't have to like censor that. But
no.
Anyway,
you swear as much as you
I
want.
Can't sing for
not,
shit.
Have I not been swearing the whole time? I meant to.
I can't sing for shit. But I will always be the best groupie in the room, especially during karaoke.
Right.
So, actually, that was something that Zach and I bonded over when we first started dating years ago. That too. Well, actually, he also is like a fantastic singer.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
So
I've dated singers. Didn't work out for me either.
There you go. See, yeah, exactly.
Great people,
yeah. But I'm like, that's his own caliber. And I'm like, kudos to you. But yeah, that's how Zach and I started dating more. We made playlists for one another.
Oh, yeah, so it's like the old school mixtape.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. So then you're a music nerd, but you can't play music and you can't sing music. See, you're like me.
Yeah.
I can't either. I just love people who do.
Yeah.
I eventually had to stop dating them, though. That's the thing. But then they all started working behind the bar, so I still get to hang out with them.
Exactly.
The
best of all worlds.
Yeah, maybe stop doing music and everything. But you make playlists.
Mm-hmm.
You love making playlists.
I do.
So tell me about your playlist. How fun is that for you to do?
Well, to me, it's like I identify as queer, and like I've been openly queer since like
your whole
early
life.
Pretty much. So to me, like, I try and find artists that and musicians that I think resonate with me. Usually it's like I want to find like LGBTQ musicians and bands, but I also want to support like people of color and women and like folks that like have all these other like quote unquote minority identities, because I feel like it's powerful in itself to be a consumer advocate and support like people in their music and their talent, especially those that don't get an opportunity usually. So I'm like, I will always be their biggest fan.
Yeah.
If especially if it like resonates with me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So a
lot of the playlists I find.
You had said that about your tiki playlist. You're like, well, it's disco and it's tiki. Or
I
has,
love
like,
disco.
Tropical sounds.
Yeah. Try and mix it up, because like I love tiki and I love disco, but I also want to make it very accessible for like masses. But I also want it to be not as mainstream. So I'm trying to figure out how to curate the best menu, not only for like cocktails, but also like the music and the vibe in the room.
Yeah. Well, you're creating the vibe for the pop up. You're creating the whole thing. So you have to have a couple favorites, like kind of tropical. For me, the first thing that came to mind was Club Tropicana by Wham,
mm-hmm.
which was a song I remember when that record came out, because I was like in high school when that record came out. And when that record came out, I was just like, this is the best record in the whole world.
Yeah.
And I think when, at some point, I think it was before George Michael officially came out, but at some point I had an understanding like, guy's probably gay. Not sure, you know, he hadn't come out, so you can't really judge that.
Yeah.
And then once he did, I'm like, things make so much more sense. You know, you can look back on stuff like that. Have you ever seen the video for Club Tropicana? It's a thing of beauty, really.
Okay, there's I'll do that later tonight, then.
There's lots of white Speedos in it. It's pretty great.
Yes!
White Speedos on the beach, and he's got that frosty hair.
I do love frosty hair.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And he's a jet pilot, I think. They're airline pilots or something. Yeah, watch the video. It's great. But what are some, like, what are some of your tiki disco songs? I want to know more about the songs that you found that are, like, queer positive and all of this that you've thrown into this list. Because there's a lot of music out there, and you're right, people don't necessarily know unless they're looking for it.
Yeah. Like,
they heard it and didn't realize.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Well, for me, like, I love Bright Light, Bright Light. That's like
I have no idea what Bright Light is.
But Bright Light, Bright Light was like a protege of like Elton John and like all these other like great musicians.
God.
Yeah.
And is that like a 70s person or an 80s person? No, current?
No, he's super current, yeah.
Alright, cool. But I think as if I had a choice, leave me waiting. As if I'm having fun, sit there laughing. As if I care, you sit there watching every move I make. You still say you're not the one, even though you leave me waiting. You come undone every time you turn around.
Yeah, like, I think his career never got the mainstream attention it deserved. And like finding his music, I'm like, it resonates with me. It's very lyrically like poignant, it's very sentimental. Talks about like all types of issues that most people wouldn't think of at the top of their heads. Like how to like say goodbye and close a chapter on like a loved one and move on with your like next steps in life. That,
oh, wow.
To me, yeah.
That sounds, it's like singer-songwriter kind of stuff?
Oh, with like a lot of like disco-esque elements to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect something with that kind of that kind of lyrical content.
Yeah.
To have a disco bend to it.
Exactly.
Well.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. But of course, you know, rolling back to like when I was in high school in the 80s, we had like Communards and Bronski Beat, which, you know, kind of the same guys. But at the same time, there were these songs, and I remember like hearing Why, and knowing that this was like basically screaming for attention, for help, and look at our community.
Yeah.
And being aware of that. But knowing that, also knowing there were a lot of people who just heard it and just thought it was just like this,
it's a banger,
80s pop song and everything that they're dancing around to. And I'm like, the song is actually really heartbreaking.
Yeah, but like Janet Jackson's like Together Again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there were lots of songs in the 60s that were like that. I always joke around, I'm like, they sound all happy, and then you listen to the lyrics, and it's about a girl who's having a mental breakdown up in her attic.
You know.
So there you go.
Real talk, right there.
Totally. So what's the most fun part for you putting together these playlists? Are they things you already know, or do you go exploring as well?
I still explore. Like, I always, like, love finding new musicians and bands that I feel like would resonate with, like, everyone that might come to the room. It might, like, keep them in the room, too, so, yeah.
Yeah. What was your first concert?
My first concert was Apollo Abdul concert when I was three.
Wait, you were what?
I was three.
Three?
I remember this. I remember I was like
you
three
remember
or four.
Going?
Yeah, because I remember my dad saying Apollo Abdul and Santana. And this is like in Vegas, I think like outside of like the strip, like in a like part of Henderson at a casino called Buffalo Bill, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I remember this concert so very specifically.
Wow, how can you remember that?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I'm also really like stupidly good with like names too.
Wow.
So that to me is like, I don't know.
That's your superpower.
I guess,
it's one of your many superpowers.
Yeah. Names.
Oh my God, so do you still like Paula Abdul then?
Of course.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. I just saw her at the Hollywood Pride event. Yeah, this year.
This year
she was one of Grand Marshals.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
I was like, it's cool.
That's awesome.
And then I was at a birthday party a couple of months ago.
Wait,
and
you were at a birthday party or her birthday party?
I was at a birthday party.
Okay, I was like, excuse me, if you're Paula Abdul's friend, you need to tell me more about that.
So I love this guy named James. James is a homie, and he invited me to his friend Guy Tang's birthday party, and Paula Abdul was the headliner. It was like a private, it was a roller rink disco event. Yeah, in the, I want to say like near the, what's it called? Not the Palisades, it's the opposite, south, way south.
South, oh.
The peninsula. Like past
I can't
Lomita,
the down there,
past Torrance,
about.
Yeah.
That's
Palo,
cool.
Yeah. So,
that's so cool. Yeah. So you're like, oh, I've seen Paul do it twice in the last 6 months. How about you?
Exactly. Whether I wanted to or not, but I'm like, hey, that was my first concert right there.
So then your parents obviously liked music if they were like dragging you to shows when you were an infant practically. So you had no choice. You had to love music.
Yeah, I was indoctrinated.
What was the first record you remember buying? Do you know?
Ooh, are we talking about vinyl, cassette, or?
Your choice.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, sometimes you can only afford, I think the first thing I bought was like a 45, you know, because that was all I could afford to get.
I remember like back in the day when there was Sam Goody.
Yes.
And so it was Sam Goody. I remember like with my mom, we went in. And my first cassette that she let me buy with her money, because I was a brat.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's not like we had jobs when we were like 8 years old.
Exactly, right?
You just kind of begged your parents. So, but we can still say it was your choice.
Yeah.
So we'll say it was your purchase.
So I remember there was like this ABBA cover band.
Called, an ABBA cover band?
Yeah.
That's what you bought? So I love ABBA.
Yeah, so it was 18s, which...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that.
So my first cassette was... Yeah.
Oh, I love that. ABBA's really, in my family, it's a thing. We
Me
listen
too.
To ABBA when we're decorating our Christmas tree. That's like, that's our tradition, is to listen to that. My mom grew up, I mean, I'm not sure if your parents would have felt the same way, but my mom, you know, English wasn't her first language.
Yeah, right? Neither was mine.
Right,
yeah.
And she came here, and one of the reasons she loved ABBA so much was because, I keep saying ABBA, but it's ABBA. I always say ABBA too.
I say ABBA. Everyone says ABBA. Yeah, it's ABBA. So I've been saying everything.
I don't know how they say it, so who knows. They do speak 100 languages, which is where I was going. My mom loved them because they sang in Spanish.
Yeah.
And she also had copies of like their German albums. My dad spoke some German.
Yeah, they go from like Chiquita to Voulez-Vous. Yeah.
Right?
It's like, how am I supposed to know this is not English?
I know.
Or this is English.
They sang in so many languages.
Yeah.
And that's why my mom loved them. And obviously the rest of the world as well. But it was always very endearing. They were just so great. It was super fun. So, big love for them. In fact, that was my first 45, was ABBA. It was Take a Chance on Me. And the flip side.
Take a Chance on Me.
If you change your mind, I'll live with you. You have to do the chick, 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 chick. The B side was a song called I'm a Marionette, which was kind of creepy. Marionettes are creepy.
They are.
And I'm actually scared of marionettes. So
I have a fear of Papa too.
We'll never be at the Bob Barker marionette.
Nope.
Theater.
Fuck no.
I got taken there once and it was a surprise.
Was that
part
a date?
Of a whole day.
Oh, thank
like
God.
A,
that'd be
like
the worst.
It was a little tour that a friend of mine took me on. And it was like a little oddities tour and it ended there. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like, it's okay. And I was like sitting in a corner like cowering when they brought them out. And he was like taking pictures of me like, I'm scared. But now I'm like, I wonder if it was that song. The song was just creepy enough that I was like, no, thanks.
Probably, yeah. Definitely trauma for life.
Who knows? So, all right, let's go back to the booze and the music. Since you have been doing this for a while, I always like to ask people, and you may have heard it because I know you listen to some
podcasts. Yeah, it's been almost a year since I started doing Tiki Takeover LA. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And at this point, it sounds like you can do it wherever you want. Huh? Because people just like, you're everywhere. You're at so many different bars all over LA. You're like on the west side, on the east side, in the middle, down south. You're like all over the place. So you've just made these connections. I mean, what's been your favorite thing about doing the Tiki Takeovers?
I find it so fun to like connect with people I normally wouldn't have had the opportunity to.
Yeah. You've met so many different kinds of people, I'm sure.
It's been great just kind of like meeting like a lot of like, I think the veterans or quote unquote people in this bar industry pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm definitely part of that newer crowd that everyone like talks about is like the newer crowd coming in. And it's like, yeah, like to me, it's like, I have like a lot of respect for like all these folks that like I've heard names about from like working at Penny Pound Ice.
Yeah.
And then like
That's
now-
right, 'cause you're at Penny Pound Ice too.
Yeah. And then meeting y'all in person, it's like, it's its own thing now too.
I'm gonna detour just a second about Penny Pound Ice because I've never been in there, but know that whole group. So what do you do there? Are you making ice?
Yeah, I was doing
carving ice.
I was carving ice because my dad's a carpenter, and so yeah, fun fact. So my dad's a carpenter,
God.
And so I was actually doing nonprofit work and bartending in Long Beach before I met my ex Zach, and then Zach introduced me to his friend Gordon, who's one of the co-owners of Paint on Ice. And so I came in and I did a stage. It was super easy peasy, and then like 3 weeks later, Gordon like was like, "Hey, can we have you full time?" I was like, "Sure." And like that gives me an opportunity to move to like. Los Angeles, yeah, and like date Zach more seriously, and
what,
yada yada.
What kind of ice are you making? Because that's so fascinating to me.
So it's like handcrafted, like clear ice. We've like purified the ice itself, the water content, to like be free of sediments and minerals, and we just hack it off
And you just like make the various shapes, like the long cylinder ones, and the perfect squares and stuff.
The balls and the spears,
I was going to say, do you guys just have a standard thing, or do you do like special order ice too?
We also do special order ice. It just depends, but people have to realize it takes 4 days to a week beforehand. Because people think, oh, we can get it in like 2-3 days. I'm like, ice does not take that long. Like,
or that you have to do work on the water to get it to look like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not instantaneously.
Yeah.
As much as people want it to be.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Feature over. But I meant to ask about that because I'm obsessed with really beautiful ice.
Love you, Pinnacle Ice. Yeah.
It's so cool when you've got nice ice.
Baby.
So I was going to ask you about pairings. Because I like to ask about musical and cocktail pairings.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know if when you're home, currently, now during the pandemic, everybody was kind of drinking at home.
Yeah.
But I don't know, a lot of bartenders don't, though. Or they just sit home with a glass of wine and just chill out or whatever. But when you're home, relaxing, whatever, what are you drinking and what are you listening to?
Oh, so I normally, I like it all, honestly.
Yeah.
So originally I started off as a scotch and whiskey drinker, and it kind of like migrated into gin. And then actually, I did give vodka a chance because I didn't realize, surprisingly, there are amazing vodkas out there.
Yeah,
like Castro El Leon, Guillotine, Smoke Lab. Yeah, these are like vodkas made from like random things, vapid vodka. Yeah, you wouldn't know, like, they're distilled from clementines or basmati rice or Castellano Greek olives. It goes on and on. So, vodka itself isn't just made from potatoes or wheat. Yeah, there's so much more quality to it.
Yeah, and it's still, but I think it still serves that purpose of kind of punching up a cocktail and
overwhelming
a cocktail.
Agree.
Which other spirits, sometimes you're like, oh, I definitely taste the rum in this.
The flavor profile overwhelms.
Exactly. So when you're sitting at home, what these days, we should say, since it's ever evolving, what are you sipping on at home currently?
I have soda water and bitters.
Yeah. See? And what are you listening to?
I listen to it all. I love like ballads. I love like Motown and doo wop. I love
just kind of chilling.
Yeah, I love listening to like chakra and lightning music, like where like the Tibetan monks like play like a chime and bell in the background. I don't know, things that are meditative, especially since like I work in like an industry where like it's full on like
sensory overload. Yeah, like,
exactly. It's like house and EDM. It's like R&B and reggaeton. And like it's nice to like just turn that off. Even like silence is nice for a second.
A couple of minutes. I remember thinking that when my time came, when I wanted to come home and just be quiet, that I would be like officially old. And I've joked a couple times about being an old lady and stuff. But at some point I noticed that sort of happened. And I'm like, well, I spend my entire day listening to music. When I'm in my car, I listen. When I go for walks, I listen to music. You know, so I'm listening to music all the time.
Yeah.
I still do. But I also now value those moments of not listening to music. Just kind of sitting there and just chilling out.
Yeah.
You know, with nothing. Just silence. Yeah. Totally.
Super zen.
I like it. And then I think I wanted to ask you, too, if you can remember if you named any drinks after musicians or songs.
Oh,
or,
all the time. I actually find inspiration in songs in my cocktails. Or is that the other way around? Yeah. Like, one of my like most recent menus, like, Unchained Melody. Because like the Elvis movie just came out recently.
Yes.
And there's a rendition of
it. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
I have not either.
I've heard good things about it though, which is surprising.
Tom Hanks, I'm sure, is awful because that everything about that looks terrible. But I'm a huge Baz Luhrmann. I just saw Moulin Rouge, the play, last night.
Oh, really?
Because that's one of my favorite movies of all time. I don't care if it's a bad movie or not. It's always going to look fantastic.
Yeah.
And that Elvis kid, the one playing him. Sorry, he looks so hot.
Dreamboat. Total dreamboat.
Yeah.
I have a thing for brunettes, so
There we go. So I'll totally watch that. So there's your Unchained Melody.
Hey,
awesome.
Yeah.
So you have some other ones? I want to hear about them, if you remember them.
Yeah, let me see what else comes
to mind. Let me scroll through my menus. I might have something there.
Unchained Melody was really poignant. What else came to mind? That's my dog.
Oh, we're looking at pictures of dogs. People
Sorry.
Can't see that. No, it's okay, because dogs
got distracted.
Yeah. There's a tiki menu. I mean, you do, how many tiki pop-ups do you do a month?
Oh, like, Summer Thai Sadness.
Oh, yes, nice. That's
Which is
good.
Like a variation of like a Mai Tai.
Oh, that's a tequila one. nice. Uh-huh. I like it. Yeah, totally. So people should always, I mean, if you're in the LA area, or you do these down in Long Beach too, right?
Yeah.
So, and even the Southern California area, people should check out the Tea Popper. Well, that's probably a good place to wrap things up, and you can tell people how to find you, if they want to find you, and get more information and all of this.
We're on Instagram, Tiki Takeover LA.
Tiki Takeover LA.
Yep.
Okay, add that.
Uh-huh.
And should people follow you, or is that good? Should they just stick with the Tiki Takeover thing?
Yeah, let's go there. Or,
go there.
Like, otherwise,
or visit
like,
you at
yeah,
Pacific
my
Seas.
Personal IG. Oh, yes, Pacific Seas, yes.
You keep forgetting that you actually also don't just do pop-ups. You're sitting in various bars serving people cocktails. Mm-hmm. So,
and that to me is always a blast.
And what's the deal over at Clifton's right now? It's open.
Uh-huh.
It's been open. Mm-hmm. And you're there 3 times a week, so it's pretty consistent that you can get up there. Is there a cover or anything to get up to?
There's a cover after 9 p.m.
At any night of the week?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights for the time being.
Okay.
So 7 p.m. is when we open our doors. Okay. 9 p.m. is when, like, when we do covers. It's just based on like the musicians, bands,
whoever's playing,
DJs, like just to, like, compensate them that
totally.
Way.
Oh, that makes sense. Totally makes sense. Sweet. Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thank you, Kingston, so much.
Thanks, Moo. So
good to talk
Thanks
to
for
you.
Me. Woo woo.
Woo woo.
Wah wah wah.
All the woo woos.
All the woo woos.
So, obviously, Kingston is the best. If you're on the Instagram, go follow at Tiki Takeover LA so that you can be in the know for all of the upcoming events if you're here in the LA area especially. Otherwise, go follow him at What a Cube Fella, and you can probably find out where he's going to be bartending if you want to visit him in some other spot other than the pop-ups. Anyway, thank you so much, Kingston. You are the best. I am forever your girl. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, S-H-E-B-M-O. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.